We are New Song, a Foursquare church in beautiful Colorado Springs. We love Jesus. We love each other. We are family. If you have any questions or prayer requests, you can always visit us simply by going to newsongcs.com. Thanks for joining us as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
As Jesus was on the tip of my tongue, when I need him, he's there. And I encourage you today, my friends, my family, Jesus is there for you. Jesus is right there. He's right on the tip of your tongue. He is right there. And there's nobody else you want right there at that time in your life when you need him the most than Jesus. And there's no name like Jesus. We're going to receive communion today. We're going to be talking about welcome, being home at church. We're going to be talking about being family. What is a better thing to do together as a family than eat together? This is not a meal. This is not a potluck. But in a way, this is us taking a symbol, these two symbols, to eat together, to show we're in unity. That's why it was that's why it took place. Jesus did it with his friends to say, hey, folks, we're together in this. We're together in this. We're a family. By the way, he said, in a couple of days, in a few days, something's going to happen, and this is going to mean something so different than what we're doing right now. It's not just being unified together, but we are becoming unified with, you're going to be unified with me. In fact, you're literally drinking my blood. And they're like, what are you talking about? I went off the deep end right now. You just went off the deep end. I don't know what you're saying. Yes, but today what we're doing, he told his friends, is symbolizing something that's going to happen in your life, and it's going to change you. And I say to you today, and I say to myself today, this will change you. Not just this act today, but this act, what Jesus did for you, changes you. If you think you don't need change, then you haven't, and you've arrived, then you're not supposed to be here, because we've all realized that we haven't arrived yet. We need change. We need his forgiveness. We need the name of Jesus in our life. Collection of talks that we're going to talk about family, and I'm calling it Welcome Home, is the name of the series. And would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, or you can look at it on the screen up here. It'll be up here. And the New King James Version is the one I'm going to read from, verse 1 through 3. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 15, it says this: all the tax collectors, this is Luke talking, he's a doctor. I don't know what he's a doctor of. He's a back doctor or an eye doctor. He was a doctor, all right? Back then, there wasn't not any specific doctor. He was a doctor, and this is the way he talks, and this is how he explains it. He says, all the tax collectors and the sinners, they drew near to him to hear him, him being Jesus, right? And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners. He eats with them. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe he does that. So he spoke this parable. All right, go back to verse 1 again. It says, all the tax collectors and the sinners, Dr. Luke, put everyone into one category. I don't believe it was just tax collectors there that day. I don't believe it was maybe sinners, but it wasn't just tax collectors. But that back then, it was kind of like all those bad people, all the bad people were with Jesus. They were hanging out with Jesus. It wasn't the Christians. It wasn't people from New Song, all right? And then verse 2 says this, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained. Do you know who the Pharisees and the scribes were? Randy and Joe, no, and Stephen, all the pastors and the leaders of the church. They were complaining, Jesus, why are you with the bad people? That's not good. You're supposed to be with good people. Jesus is, not only was he with them, but he was eating with them. You know, eating with bad people, back then, eating with people was a very sacred, it was a very intimate thing in their religion. You don't eat with people. It was the same thing as receiving communion together. They received communion when they ate together. It was a time to unify with Jesus, with God. It was the past, it was sacred. And Jesus was not only hanging out with them, but he's eating with them. And verse 3 says this. He spoke a parable. He's like this. Oh, guys, you guys don't get it, do you? You're coming against me. I got to explain this to you. I got to figure out a way that you would understand. And the other pastors in town were concerned because Jesus is sitting at the table with people that they wouldn't even bring to their church. And Jesus was challenging their laws by not only being with them, but eating with them and literally hanging out with them, literally sitting with them. You know, when they ate, I would do it right now, but they won't. They lounged. They They reclined together. This was not cool what Jesus was doing. He was being like family with them. And you know what was happening to them was that they were captivated by what is this Jesus? There's something about the name of Jesus. And they wrote the song, Jesus. No. But they were captivated. They were amazed. They were blown away by this guy wants to hang out with me. Jesus is preaching a message, not standing, which most times when you preached, when you taught in the synagogue, you stood. But he sat reclining. Can I suggest to you that one of the points of his illustrated sermon, if you will, is that everybody wants to come home. Everybody wants to find a place to call home. And Jesus would fulfill that for his seekers just by being with them. He would not only be in their home. He said, hey, I want to come to your house. Can I hang out with you? Can I come eat with you? He came to their home, but he actually became home. And Jesus is still in the business of calling people to home today, calling people to himself. Jesus doesn't walk around and say, hey, Matthew, come on, I want to come to your house. Do you know what he does? He says, hey, Gene, go call Matthew. Tell him that you want to go to his house. He does it through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you and he says, you bring them home. You bring them to me. Jesus is still in that business today. Would you close your eyes and we're just going to say a word, a prayer upon this time together. I don't want to belittle, God, your word to us. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to assume that we understand this. We already know what it means to be like you. Our church, we want to be like you. Our relationship, we want to be like you. And there is so many more aspects to this than just what we've known already, because every day we get to know you a little bit sweeter. We get to know you a little bit closer. So Lord, speak to us. Speak to us individually about who we're supposed to talk to, about how we need to change the way we receive people, the way we think about people. In Jesus' name. This message in the Welcome Home series, I'm calling it, There's No Place Like Home. There's no place like home. You know, I love to go places, but I love to come home. How many would agree? Even if you're on vacation, you like to come home. I used to go away for work. For about 5 years, I worked with a ministry called J12. And every week on Friday, I would leave my cute kids and my beautiful wife, and I would go somewhere. And at first, it was kind of exciting. I would leave on a Friday. I would come home on a Monday because that was when church happened and church is all over, right? And it was exciting. But after a while, it just was painful to say goodbye because I knew I would not see them the next day or the next day or the next day. And I would come home, and it was like taking a drink. It was like medicine to my soul. I would come home, and if it was a busy day on Monday, it would just tear my insides out to come home and then say, oh, wait, okay, I'll see you later. I have to go back to work. And I would go to places that were exciting. I would go to Florida and go to the beach and go to Hawaii and go to New York and go to Canada. I went to Canada a lot and Nashville. And I would be there and thinking, I just want to be home. And I would share with people, just so you know, what I would do there is I'd go to the church, I would talk to them about the importance and the value of our kids and how we need to realize that we have to reach them before they need to be rescued, right? That was the message. And then we'd bring the kids up and we'd pray over them and we'd speak vision into their lives, and it was very exciting. But there was nothing like coming home. Ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Seen it before? You know, everyone knows what it is. Wizard of Oz, right? Dorothy knew what home was. Kansas was her home. In fact, I was born in Wichita, Kansas. It's not my home. I guess it's kind of my home. I feel more like I don't want to go back to Kansas. But after the tornado, she is famous for saying to Toto, because she went to another place, her house was in disarray, upside down, and she says, "Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore," right? And you know, when you come into this place, you might have had your house turned upside down. It might have gone through a tornado, through a storm, through whatever. And I hope that people would say when they come here that you invite to this place, that they would not say after sitting in church and after hanging out with the people and going to small groups with them and going to outings, that they would say, "Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. I feel afraid. I feel nervous. We're in this place called Oz, and it's scary, and it's foreign, and I want to go home." I would hope they wouldn't say that about this place. I would hope they would say instead, "There's no place like home. I love it here," right? That's what I would hope they'd say. Not because we want them to come here, but because we want them to come. Where is home? Home is Jesus. We want them to come to Jesus. Dorothy spent the entire movie trying to get home. The famous scene that finally resolves it for her is when someone tells her, "Just click your heels and say there's no place like home. There's no place like home." We live in a world with fear, anxiety, unrest. We have a shortage of peace. And God has called us to be home for our community. Not to say to them, "Just say this thing three times. That should do it for you. Just read the Bible and read Book of John and go to discipleship and then you should know Jesus." No. It shouldn't just be a ritual that we tell them, but it should be just something that happens, like Jesus, when the people said, "Man, I don't know what it is about this guy, but I just like to be around him." When someone comes here, they should biblically, spiritually, emotionally, physically feel there's no place like home. They should feel community. You know, I've heard about our building that we have. Sometimes I make fun of it, but really, one of the things I hear the most is, "Oh, that place seems like a living room when I come in. It doesn't seem like a church. It seems like a living room." If you go back to the lounge back there, we just used to be a nursery, and now upstairs is our nursery because the owners of the place, we had favor with them, and they gave us a whole suite just to use, and that's where our nursery is. But back there, that lounge really feels like home. If you go in there, it looks like somebody's house. I think that's a compliment. I like that. I have a question before we go on. This is kind of like off the subject a bit, but it's with the subject, because you wrestle, some of you might wrestle with, where is home? Are you talking about coming to church? Are you talking about inviting people to church? Are you talking about inviting people to Jesus? And I just want to clear something up. When I have a question. When we say welcome home to our community, what does home mean? Is home this church, or is home the family of God? Think about that. Pretty easy. Is welcoming home the same as inviting to church? "Will you come to church with me? Will you come to church?" Sometimes we think that's the ultimate. "Will you come to church with me?" I think the answer to both of those is yes and no and both and. I think you could say it like this, that a natural result of you helping people find Jesus is a welcoming community here at church. I think that just kind of would just happen automatically. Some of you are like Cynthia, she would be like, "I don't even know why you even said that. That isn't, it's not important." But I think that's important. Is welcoming, I think Did you know the Bible, in the Bible, in the Greek, it uses the word every time. Did you know the Bible, anytime we read the word house or home, it's the same Greek word as family? I'm not going to say anything about it. I just want to tell you. Did you also know that the Hebrew word tabernacle, synagogue, you know, we say church, are the same words often translated in English as house or home? They're almost synonymous. I don't know. Maybe we got it mixed up. Maybe we got it mixed up in America what church is, that it's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I think that's part of it, but it's, I think it's so much more. Would you all agree? I want to encourage you today. I want to inspire you. I want to rally you. I want to change our thinking a bit. Maybe it's nothing new under the sun, but just kind of tweak it just a bit to not forget what we have at New Song is something special, but what we have, Amanda, with Jesus is more special. It's something really special. What you have with Jesus is very special, and you got to share it. We have to share it. It's not fair if we don't let people know about the name of Jesus and what he's done for us, the way he's changed us. And it doesn't mean preaching, you have to preach on a street corner, but it does mean you got to find a way to bring people two steps closer. I just took that from you. We have a mandate to welcome back into friendship with Jesus people who have been lost, who have been away. We have the privilege of partnering with God and showing our community there's no place like home. There's no place like home for you, I promise you. Jesus, when he was talking to those guys and they were confused and they were making fun of, or they were criticizing him, he told them a story. He told them a parable. It had three parts to the parable. Three stories in the parable. The story of a lost coin, the story of a lost sheep, the story of a lost son. Right after they said, they criticized him, he said, this is the best way I have to explain to you what your problem is. Do you not understand what we're in the business of doing? And all three of those stories had in them, yes, people are lost, but people, or things are lost. Things can be lost. They can be found. And what happens at the end of them is a celebration. They can be lost. They can be found. And what happens at the end of them is a celebration. And in that celebration, they are at home, literally. All three times they brought whatever it was that was lost. They found it and they brought it home. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 17 for a minute. He was sitting at the table with the people and he's telling them the story. Trying to see what to cut out here. We have to be home to our community. And it doesn't just happen right here at church. I got to say this part. I don't want to skip it. We've had a lot of people at our house over the years to just hang out with us at our house. I wrote a book a while back called What's Extraordinary About Being Ordinary. And in it, I tell a story about how my family, we lived in a parsonage at a church at a church called Florence Avenue for a while. And the parsonage was like an apartment on the campus of the church. It was kind of fun. But it was kind of crazy because often we'd have people come visit us. In fact, our house became a revolving door because here was the office and here was our house right above it. And people would come over all the time. You know, we ate meals three times a day. And because we ate three times a day, there would be times that we would be eating and people would actually come over while we're eating. And there's no way as a pastor you can say, we're eating, go away. which we'd want to do. We'd want to say that. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want people. But, you know, we just decided this is where, this is what it is. And Cynthia would just make an extra place at the table. We had a big table, and often we had someone sitting with us. And there's something about sitting around a table that somehow you just get closer to people than you do at home at church. At home, and at a table, something happens, and we got closer to people. And walls would come down, and people would come home. For somebody today, I would hope the walls would just come down today while you're here, and you would just come home. You would just drop your whatever and just come home to Jesus. Jesus wants you to come back to him. And for others of you, I hope that you would embrace the responsibility you have to be a welcome sign to somebody, literally, that, hey, welcome home. This is who I am. This is what I do. There's no place like home because of three things, and then I'll leave you. I'll leave you with these three things. And the first one is, there's no place like home because home highlights the lostness that we have and provides the setting to be found. Luke chapter 17, or chapter 15, verse 17 says this. You can look at the screen. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, he said, how many, this is the guy that ran away from home, the prodigal son. He was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to find my way on my own. And then he realizes something. He comes to this realization that he's lost. And he says, how many of my father's servants have bread at home? And I perish with hunger. I'm lost right now. Keep going. I will arise, I'll go to my father's house, I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against you, heaven, and before you. I've sinned against everything, and I am no longer worthy to be called your servant, to be called your son. Just make me a slave. That's all I want. I just want to come home. Being a home highlights your lostness. People know when they realize what Jesus does for them, they realize where they're at, that they don't feel home. They don't feel at home. They don't feel where they need to be. I've dealt with many in counseling here. The first step, you know, you tell them is to realize your problem. The same thing with driving. I have a problem getting lost sometimes. And back in the day, you used to look at Thomas Guide in California if you got lost. And Thomas Guide, you pay, there's like this many pages to find out where you're at. And so you just go to a gas station and you just ask someone at a gas station, do you know how to get to Tommy's? Because I'm lost. I can't find it. But if you keep driving and you don't admit that you're lost, you never find it. There's a point in our lives where you have to say, everyone agree. Everyone in the room smiled at that story. That was the only thing that was not in my notes. Just rip this out. I don't need this anymore. Just don't even need my notes. Okay. Because, yes, we all agree. We can all relate with that, right? You gotta realize you're lost before you ask for directions. And that's what people out there, that's what our extended family will realize. The more you show them love, they'll realize their lostness, and they'll, what was it? It'll provide the setting to be found. Number two, there's no place like home because we are always accepted at home. Chapter 15, verse 6 through 7. Well, let's go backwards a little bit to verse 6 through 7. And when he comes home, he calls together. This is about the sheep that ran away and realized that the sheep that left, it was not like he came home like the son. The guy had to go out and find the sheep. He had to find the sheep. He said, you get your butt back home. You right now, you just turn around. You get home. That's what he had to say to the sheep. Sometimes as a family of believers, when someone comes home, well, we're so glad you came home. You decided on your own that it was the right thing. Sometimes it doesn't even happen on their own. Sometimes you need to go out there. You need to grab them, and you need to say, you get your butt. I could see Juanita doing that to somebody. You get back in church. You get back home. And when they come home, They feel accepted. It says when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors who are all mad at the dumb sheep because he left the 99 to go find just one. He just wasted all the time with all the other people of the church to find the one sheep. And he says, hey, guys, rejoice with me. Have a party, for I have found the sheep which was lost. Yippee, we got to celebrate. That is a testimony to us. It's a testimony to us that we have to celebrate. It says in verse, is there another, what's the next? I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 that just sit in the church and do nothing. No, you know, I know that that's not us. That's not us, but there are some. There are some. It's not 99 in our church, but there are a lot of people that just sit in church and do nothing, right? But there is more joy over the one sinner than all of us just hanging out at church on Sundays. Why is the emotion of heaven important to us on earth today? Why does he tell us that they had a party? Can I submit to you? Can I submit to you? This is good. That didn't God ask us to bring a little bit of heaven to earth? Didn't he say, let the kingdom of heaven come to earth, and I've given you the authority to do it. Bring it to earth. Bring them a little bit of heaven. Maybe that's why it's there, because he wants us to celebrate like they do in heaven. He wants us to have a party over the one, not just have our parties every week. Our 99 of us, let's have our party. If you have a party every week for the 99, after a while, you start to forget, what are we even celebrating? Are we celebrating our lostness? Because it's been a long time since I was lost. I don't have much of a testimony anymore. I've been in church for my whole life. We start to forget, but when one comes back, it reminds us, oh, that's why we're here. That's why we have a home here. That's why we're supposed to be welcoming. That's why there's no place like home, because you see that person that came, that one that came back, and you celebrate with them. I don't think I'm preaching as good as I'm trying to. I think it in my head, but you understand what I'm saying. Amen. We are welcoming the kingdom of heaven in our community. We are to welcome home the people around us. We are to show them acceptance, not discrimination, inclusion. We are to discover, in our vision statement, it says we are to discover the best in others. I don't think in our situation we have a problem with that at all. We love to receive new people, and we love to discover the best in others. But after a while, after a lot of them come, and a lot, you start to get callous and forget why you're here. Don't forget that there's no place like home, because you're always accepted here. And then lastly, there's no place like home because even when we are sick, life is better here. Life is better at home. Would someone come up and play some music? You know, in the Old Testament, when they had to tell something really serious or get a point across or get something that no one would like across, the king would say, play some music, and they would play the harp or whatever, and the people would listen, and it would help them to take what was said next better. That was where it came from, and I believe in that. I think I love when music's behind me. It sounds better, and especially as we're closing. I don't have anything hard to tell you right now, but I have a challenge for you, and when the music starts playing, you'll be like, ooh, yes, baby. Yes, Lord, not baby. You're going to be like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's no place like home, because when we are sick, life is better there. Doesn't that sound better? Who likes to be sick? Nobody likes to be sick. But when you're sick, you don't want to be at a hotel. I've been at a hotel when I've been sick. I've been in the bathroom, on the ground, laying on the floor, just sick to like I was going to die. And all I wanted was to be well. And if I couldn't have that, I just wished I could be at home on my own couch with my own coffee cup, with my own TV, with my own family. I just want to be home. Even if I'm sick, even if I don't get better, I just want to be home. Larry just wanted to be home, I bet you, didn't you? I don't care if I'm I do want to get better, but I just want to get out of this place where they turn on the light every night 19 times to wake me up to give me more drugs. I just want to be home, because when you're at home, when you were sick, you feel better. Understand the church doesn't always mean that when you come here that you're perfect, that everybody's perfect. But it does mean one thing. You're home and you feel better here. You get strength here. You get revived here. You get renewed here. You get encouraged here. You get loved here. You get accepted here. You get welcomed here. That's something about being home. It just feels good. It just feels right. Oh, that's good. Amen. I feel strength when I come to church. And the first question I want to ask you today is this. Have you been away from home? Maybe you were in a place today where you are searching. You're full of worry. You're full of anxiety. You're full of sickness. You're full of whatever. You're full of pain. And you just need to come home. And God says, I've been knocking. I knock at your door all the time. I'm waiting for you. I haven't gone anywhere. You have, but I have not gone anywhere. Sometimes I do this part and I just do it, and I don't want to just do that. God would say to you today, I'm knocking. Would you just let me in? I'll clean your heart up. Your heart doesn't, I don't belong in there right now, but I can come in. I can help you. I can help you get cleaned up. I can help you get right. I can get you more than two steps closer. Somebody else got you two steps. I'll get you all the way back home because I'm Jesus. That's what I do. That's who I am. I am home. And if you're a lost son or a lost coin or a lost sheep, I have the foundness right here. I am your definition of found. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man will get to God. No man will get to heaven except through me. And I am aware that most of our sheep in our family right here know Jesus. Maybe you've known Jesus your whole life. Maybe some of you, though, have, like the sheep, walked away, just ventured away for a little bit. And Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. I'm going to come find you. I'm going to grab you by the ear, and I'm going to bring you home. You know, in fact, sometimes shepherds, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard it, that they broke the legs of the sheep to get them back home just to teach them. You don't run away from me. That sounds like a really mean thing. I don't know if Jesus would literally break your legs to get you back, but he will shake you. He will shake your world. If you feel like your world's being shaken, maybe it's because you're in the wrong place and you're not home. Would you just close your eyes with me? If you're in that place today, you need to acknowledge that to Jesus. This is the goodest time as any to do it. It's the best time, in my opinion, to come back to him. This is an opportunity you don't get at the supermarket or at the gas station. No one says, everybody close your eyes and raise your hand if you're not serving Jesus or if you need to come home. But today, if that's you, take away the stereotype of what that means, because some of you say, well, for me, I guess I wouldn't fall into that category. If you're questioning, if you're not sure if you fall in that category, you are. You're probably in that category. You're not where you're supposed to be with Jesus. You need to come home. Just raise your hand to him and say, Jesus, I'm doing that right now. Is that you? That's why you're doing it. Do that. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I need to come back home. I need to come back home to you. Don't be shy. Don't miss that chance. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's speaking to your heart. Amen. Would you look at me? The other question I have for you, you can open your eyes. Will you let God use you to welcome people home? Not give them a little quip, a little religious ritual. Click your heels three times. There's no place like home and you'll be home. But literally, will you let God use you to find the lost and bring them back? Whatever it takes for you to be used to do that. Jesus doesn't walk around anymore. He uses you. He uses me. When you're at the park, will you allow God to let you step out of your comfort zone? Every time I'm at a park now, I talk to someone and I bring them two steps closer to Jesus. And you could say, no, you don't. Yes, I do. One reason I think I have a conviction, because I'm a pastor and I'm a leader of a group of people, and I know I need to answer to God on that. And you know what? Because now I just know that's what I do, it's easy. And I am so shy, but when I do that, God opens the door. He always opens the door. And I don't always say I'm a pastor, come to my church, but I do get them two steps closer to Jesus. I do. There's a lady at the Texas Roadhouse that I got a gift card for about $200 worth of gift cards since I've been here. And so we go and we spend about $20, and me and Cynthia can eat and we can go back and back. And there's a waitress that I'm bringing two steps closer to Jesus. And there's not one time that I've asked her, will you come to my church yet? But I'm getting her closer to home every time, because I know she's dealing with stuff. I know she's a single mom. I know that she's got two jobs. I know that that she's barely making it. I can just tell the way she acts. Will you let God use you? It may involve you inviting someone to your barbecue, and it's not someone that has to be a complete stranger. You know them in your life. Invite them to your house. Maybe it's your aunt that lives in your town and you haven't brought her to your house in a long time. Maybe it's inviting someone to come to your kid's recital. People love that kind of stuff. They love to be included. Will you let God use you? Let him give you his love. You have his love for the lost already, but let him give you a second helping of it. Today, would you stand with me? If you feel convicted and bad, then I've done the wrong thing. It should make you feel encouraged, because anybody can be used by God. Any of us can be used by God. So everybody smile, because it's in you. Because guess who's in you? Jesus is in you. If Jesus is in you, home will come out in the things that you do. Thank you. Home will come out. And we have a privilege. It's not a it might be a command, but it's more a privilege than it is a command. It is more dynamic than it is, I don't know the word I want to use for this, more dynamic than it is demanding, to partner with God and showing your community of friends there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place. Sister Jean, would you come forward? She's going to close us in a word of prayer today. I just ask you, before we do that, just lift your hands to the Lord and say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I know I am yours, because I think everyone has done that, that those that hadn't came back today. Say, I know I am yours, and I have you inside of me. Let me more specifically say, I know I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Use me to call my friends, to call my extended family, to call my community home to you.